fiery farewell for John T. McKernan. Few things are as unpredictable as the nature of life. The nature of fire, however, comes pretty darn close. We have tried and will continue to try to tame the flame, but ultimately, fire will burn what it wants, when it wants, however it wants to. The late fire chief John T. McKernan can certainly attest to that. As many a Sanford native knows, being deceased has never stopped some folks from sticking around and turning up in places you'd least expect them to. So pause right there, grab a slice of tiramisu and a refreshing beverage from La Dolce Vita Pizzeria, and prepare for a smoldering tale of a fire raging out of control and the peculiar passing that coincided with it. Lifelong Sanford resident John T. McKernan, commonly known as Big John, dedicated his entire life to public service. Discovering early on his passion for helping people, during his life, he would proudly serve as head of the water and street department, fire chief, and police chief of Sanford. He would also become one of the most beloved figures in the community right up until his untimely demise. But we're jumping ahead of ourselves a bit. Let's go back to a young and eager John who grew up loving a variety of things, but two most of all, baseball and cars. As a little leaguer and school team player, he'd spend countless hours perfecting his swing and dreaming of Grand Slam victories on the town's dusty diamond. When he wasn't on the pitch, he was under the hood or a chassis at a downtown garage where his father worked. Just like his old man, John excelled at machine repair and was a whiz from the moment he could hold onto a wrench. Just a short walk south from your current location on Carthage Street is the original location of Bowen's Motor Company, where John's father worked. If you place your ear up to the garage door, you might hear ghostly sounds of auto repair work being completed all those years ago. You might also feel Big John's spirit hanging around the Sanford Spinners mural on the corner of Carthage Street and Horner Boulevard, or at the J.D. McGuffey mural near Wild Dogs Brewing, a future stop on your crawl. If your luck holds out, you might just get the chance to enjoy some beautiful art without the company of a ghost. But what's the fun in that? Now, back to our story. For John, a fine life would have been following in his father's footsteps and becoming a mechanic. But the women in his life wholeheartedly believed he was capable of much more. While his mother loved his father dearly, deep down in her heart she knew he had very little vision, something she vowed to correct in her son. His childhood sweetheart, on the other hand, was a lovely girl who dreamed of marrying a financially stable man who could care for her in a way she was accustomed to. So with their encouragement, John left the garage for good and enrolled in Sanford Business School. So did John end up finding his true calling while studying business? Absolutely not. He was actually one of the worst students the institution had ever seen. For some reason, he couldn't keep all the facts and figures straight in his head for anything in the world. Eventually, he quit, or flunked out. Opinions differ greatly on that one. As you walk back up Carthage Street, take a moment and look up at the newly restored ghost sign advertising the Sanford Business School. Just imagine poor John poring over his school books and literally pulling his hair out trying to make sense of it all. For sure, a few of you could relate. With no other prospects for employment, John returned to the garage where he and his father had once worked together. Unfortunately, McKernan Sr. was so disappointed and hurt by his son turning his back on him that he convinced his boss not to offer the younger McKernan any work. This, among other things, drove John into a deep depression, and he takes to drowning his sorrows at a local pub eerily similar to today's Wild Dogs Brewing. Let's make our way over there for our next stop. With a refreshing beverage now in hand, imagine a place not much bigger than this, where John T. McKernan would sit every night, ranting about how unfair the world was to anyone who would listen. A clever trick indeed, as most folks would end up buying him a drink just to make him go away. At closing time, he'd be booted from the pub, only to stagger home, howling into the night. Some believe that on quieter nights, you can still hear him howling like a wild dog in the street. As luck would have it, John's lot in life would change the evening he crosses paths with Sanford's appointed fire chief. Instead of buying John a drink like most, he chats the young man up and offers him a chance to become a voluntary fireman. John eagerly accepts, and before long, he takes to the job like a fish to water. Through his hard work and heroics in the face of danger, he quickly earns the respect of his chief, his fellow firemen, and the community at large. Years pass, and John eventually runs for fire chief and wins the appointment easily. Under his direction, the fire emergency response in Sanford improves dramatically. John's friendly demeanor and can-do spirit win him favor with his government colleagues, and before long, he gets the green light to enact swift infrastructure changes to better protect the town from fire. One night, several years into his career as fire chief, McKernan and his guys from the station are out celebrating another big win for fire safety thanks to Big John. As they settle in to eat dinner, they began to hear a commotion outside on the street widely known as Steel Street. All of a sudden, a red, kerosene-soaked brick set aflame crashes through the front window of the restaurant. The place instantly fills with smoke, but McKernan and the boys quickly spring into action, ushering everyone to safety. Outside, chaos erupts as policemen clash with a growing group of factory workers violently protesting their lost jobs and wages, a consequence of what would soon be known as the Great Depression. Natural-born leader that he is, John rallies his men and enters the fray to aid the police in subduing and arresting the rioters. Before long, the entire fiasco is quelled, and once again, Big John is a hero. As luck would have it, that famous location where John became more than a fire chief is the current site of Smoke and Barrel. Let's stop in for a meal and another drink, shall we? Fair warning, if you happen to smell a whiff of smoke that quickly vanishes, and you're nowhere near the kitchen, there's a chance that the ghosts of one or two of John's brave men are still hanging about, ready to save the day. Our story continues with John T. McKernan adding yet another title to his name, Police Chief. His valiant actions on the night of the uprising were duly noted, and when the former chief stepped down, John was almost unanimously elected to take his place. Immediately, he understands the importance of regular nightly patrols to keep the peace downtown and ensure that nothing as horrible as the workers' protest happens again. He creates the Night Knocker Patrol and serves alongside his fellow patrolmen on a regular basis. From sundown to sunup, John would walk the streets and check on closed businesses to make sure that they weren't robbed or vandalized. Each check would begin with a double knock on the business entrance before searching the perimeter. Once finished, John would often rap on the door twice more as an all-clear sign. When you walk down Steel Street from Smoke and Barrel to our next stop, why not try your hand at night knocking by rapping your knuckles on business doors as you pass them? For the truly brave among you, hang back and wait for Big John's ghost to give you the all-clear. Two knocks loud and clear coming from inside an otherwise closed business. But don't dawdle too long, as John really wasn't that fond of loiterers. Just before the mysterious end of his life, John would hold three high-level positions in Sanford's government: police chief, fire chief, and head of the water and street department. And while John was incredibly good at all those jobs, working them all at the same time would eventually take a toll on his body and mind. We know what you're thinking. Wasn't there someone else who could take on at least one of those jobs? Perhaps it's more likely that there just weren't a lot of people back then like John that the whole town could get behind. So dear listener, you've made it to Hugger Mugger Brewing Company. For that, you deserve to hear exactly what became of poor John T. McKernan. In the days leading up to his passing, John was burning the candle at three ends and getting worn out in the process. It was about this time that one of the greatest calamities of all time befell the humble town of Sanford. Just past noon on a Saturday, the most spectacular fire ever witnessed broke out in a huge tobacco warehouse. The blaze, which would eventually consume the entire structure, was rumored to have been started by a young hooligan who had a score to settle with Big John for arresting him on several past occasions. When the alarm sounded, the fire happened to be no bigger than a man's hand. Had the firemen arrived just minutes earlier, the blaze could have largely been contained. Unfortunately, a traffic accident on the main road to the fire would block the engine from arriving any sooner than it did. By the time help would arrive, the fire would triple in size. Once on the scene, the first responders' attempts to attach their hoses to the nearest fire hydrant proved unsuccessful at first. Whether it was due to the size of the hoses or a malfunctioning hydrant, we'll never know. But by the time the hoses were ready to go, high winds had fanned the flames which engulfed the warehouse and started to spread to neighboring houses and buildings. Thick black smoke billowing from the fire was seen for miles around, and a massive crowd gathered in downtown Sanford to watch the scene unfold. With the fire spreading rapidly, the firemen were forced to focus on protecting the surrounding properties and the growing crowd, which left the warehouse to completely burn to the ground. The warehouse fire burned so hot that day that heat from it cracked plate glass windows in neighboring buildings. It was so intense that Hugger Mugger Brewing patrons today swear that when they're enjoying their favorite drinks, they can feel the heat of the blaze on their faces and the backs of their necks. So much, in fact, they temporarily switched to drinking water instead. Could that be the truth, or just a side effect of one too many beers? We'll let you be the judge of that. According to a large number of onlookers present at the fire, John T. McKernan was seen near the area when the fire erupted. Some even called out to him to help, but were completely shocked when he suddenly disappeared. As it turns out, Big John couldn't have been anywhere near the blaze that day, as he had unfortunately passed away in his sleep that morning, according to his loving wife and kids, who discovered his lifeless body. This only made the news of his passing even sadder, and most became convinced that even in death, John was doing his best to save the town and its people. As you head out to enjoy the rest of your night, you might just catch a glimpse of a ghostly, rugged gentleman dressed in uniform patrolling the streets downtown. It's in your best interest to move along and leave him to it, because truly, there's nothing to see here. Before continuing on to the next hair-raising Boo and Brew ghost tale, might we suggest one last stop? Head over to Charlie Watson Lane to add a bucket list item to the Before I Die mural. Our ghosts do enjoy knowing what the living get up to these days.